we're holding on Peikes Amud Aleph, sixth line. We're in the middle of dealing with the two related dinim, one where you have to allow a worker to eat on the job, the two psukim that say that if your fellow yid comes into your vineyard or into your standing grain, then you have then he's allowed to pick some grapes or to pick some ears of grain and eat them. And we also have the Torah tells us by an ox, loisao, any other animal, loisaxim, show the disha, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal while it's threshing the grain. You have to allow it again to be able to eat. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. Now we've been dealing with the point that in the case of the worker, in the case of both of them, you have certain dinim when it's allowed, when they're allowed to and when not. In particular, with the worker, we learned in the Mishnah, it has to be either that the worker is harvesting the produce and it's now gmar malacha of that produce. This is the last thing that has to be done in order to harvest that produce, or that's already been harvested and it's not yet gmar malacha, namely that it's not yet ready as far as meiser or as far as challah. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan Dayish, when the Pasuk says, by Lysaxim Shur B'dishoy, and again, we said before, we just said that there's a hekesh between a shur and a person, that the dinim that apply to one apply to the other. Therefore, now the Gemara can take the word Dayish, which is speaking of the shur, and use the dinim of it to apply to a person. So we're going to make a Mamatzinu, a Binyan Alphamet. Ma Dayish Miyuchad, just like what is special about Daish, Dabash Gedula Kalka Ovashas Mamalacha. It's something that grows from the ground. And it's Gmar Malacha. At this point, you don't need much else in order to prepare it for food. Actually, a number of Rishonim don't have that deal. So Ovashas Gmar Malacha, because Daish in and of itself is not Gmar Malacha. It's not necessarily Gmar Malacha. You still have stages after that before the grain is ready to eat. But, in any case, Daish definitely is Gedula Karka, and Poil Ochoboy, and the worker we're saying is allowed to eat from it. Af Kol Davish, Gedula Karka, Poil Ochoboy, the same way, when does the rule apply that the worker can eat on the job from what he's working with only when it's something that grows from the ground? Yotza HaKholev, therefore that excludes a person who you hire to milk animals, or somebody who makes butter or cheese. So milk is not gedula karka. So that wouldn't be included. Mechabetz itself can mean to make cheese, which is the process of putting in the rennet and filtering out the whey and whatever to make the cheese. Or mechabetz can mean churning it, like to make butter, whatever the case. Vamagabin, or making a block of cheese. So all of those, she'en gedulei karka, none of those. So the milk doesn't grow from the ground, and therefore neither do any of the milk products. Ve'en poil ochoboy, and therefore the worker is not allowed to eat from it. Now, of course, if the worker and the balabas make up between themselves that he should be allowed to, then that's something else. But we're talking about from the point of view of the din about that the worker is automatically entitled to eat. That doesn't apply to these things because they're not gedulei karka. Tosfos points out there are actually other contexts where we do consider milk to be, to a certain extent, gedulei karka. We say that, for example, you're allowed to buy milk or milk products with maaser sheni money, even though maaser sheni is supposed to be spent on things that are gedulei karka. So the answer is, to that extent, it's considered gedulei karka because the animal lives off the ground. It eats grass from the ground, and eventually that becomes milk. But on the other hand, the fact is it doesn't actually directly grow from the ground, and therefore in context of our din, then that's not considered gedulei karka. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks, Lomali, why do I need to darshan from the word daish, mikis sovi mekerem re'echon after? Can't we learn that from where the Pasuk is saying when you come into your fellow yid's vineyard, so therefore it only applies to things that grow from the ground like vines? And the answer is itzrich. You still need the limud from daish Sakudat Chamina. Otherwise, you would think, Horoksiv, comma, since the Pasuk says in the second Pasuk about the Wilku eating, it says, comma, the standing grain, and we learned before, Larabas Kobale, comma, we learned that it actually says twice, comma, in the Pasuk, and we learned from that anything that stands, that's where we learned that it meant not only grain, but also beans and other kinds of things that stand when they grow. So you would think, maybe it includes things that don't even grow from the ground. After all, Tosfos says it could conceivably include animals which stand upright. So therefore, maybe it would include animal products. Kamash Malan, therefore, we're being told that no. It still does not apply to milk and milk products like that. Because the fact is they're not gedulei karka. Again, they do have a connection with karka in the sense that the animal lives off grass from the ground, but nevertheless, it's still not, still doesn't include things like that. So Tosfos actually has two different gersos over here. One is that you would think since it says comma twice, then therefore, in other words, maybe we should learn from one of them to include such things. And the answer is that no. And then the Gersa that we have, comma, the Rabbis called Bale, comma, is that automatically you would think it means Bale Koma, it means animals, and we're saying that not. And then Tosfos discusses why don't we learn that way and say that Daish is, and then Daish includes something else. So Tosfos actually leaves that open as a question. Why indeed don't we say that Daish? In fact, we're going to be bringing a bunch of braises now that bring the word Daish and learn various halachas from it. So why indeed don't we say that Daish teaches us one or another of those halachas and Koma teaches us Kol Bale Koma, and therefore milk and milk products would be included? Tosfos leaves the question open. So the Gemara continues. Tanya Idach. Now we learn another braisa. Now usually we say, of course, you can't learn more than one thing from one word. Usually the Gemara is going to say, if you already use this word for one drasha, then you can't use it for another. But here the Teres Chaim explains all of the following drashas that we're going to bring from the word daish are all shokul. We can really say all of them are equally strong, and therefore there's no reason to prefer one over the other, and therefore we can in fact learn all of them. The Gemara uses that logic in some places. Anyway, so Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa, daish. What do we learn from the word daish? Again, it's in connection with a shur, but we're repurposing it to refer to a person. Ma daish miyuchad davish v'shas ma malacha poil ofaboy. Just like the daish is. So in the previous braisa, we said gedulei karka uvashas gmar malacha. Now we're focusing on the gmar malacha. That daish is gmar malacha. That you thresh the grain, and now that's it. You don't need to do any more in terms of the threshing. There are, of course, other things that you need to do to the grain before it's ready. But nevertheless, right now, in other words, it is ready as far as it's going to be. So Mao Shah explains, in other words, that when you have you could say any time you're doing work with something that's detached from the ground, it can already be considered gemar malacha. As opposed to when it's attached to the ground, there we're going to bring in this braisa that you have examples where something is attached to the ground and it's not yet gemar malacha. So just like daish is gemar malacha, and therefore poil oichel boy, and the worker therefore is allowed to eat from it, af kolshu v'shas malacha, gemar malacha poil oichel boy, therefore the rule about the worker eating on the job automatically without having to arrange with the balabas is only when it's gemar malacha. Yotza menakish v'shumim v'vitzolim. So the braisa says therefore that comes to exclude where a person is picking out from among the mature ones, the smaller onions or the smaller garlic or onions. So sometimes you have a bed of garlic or a bed of onions, and they were planted too thickly together. So now you need to weed out the smaller ones from among the bigger ones. And usually you throw them away. A different explanation is that menakesh sometimes can mean weeding. So it would mean pulling out weeds that grow among them. Anyway, in Gemar Malacha, since that is not Gemar Malacha, because you still have the other ones, the good ones are still attached to the ground, in Poil Oichel Behem, therefore, from the word Dayish, we're learning that the worker would not be able to eat from them. So the Gemara asks Lomali, well, why do we need that limud from the word daish? Don't we learn that from the pasuk says about the grapes that you can't put them into your containers? And we said before that means at the time when you're putting things into the containers of the balabais, namely when you're harvesting the crop and putting it into his kalim, that's when you're allowed to eat, but otherwise not. Here, this menakesh is not yet at the point of eating because the good onions and the good garlic are still attached to the ground and they're still going to continue to grow. And the answer is loitzricha afagav to call mashlik tinimi ben yalimi. We're talking about that even though, yes, he's only taking the smaller onions, which are not going to grow full size. He's taking them out from among the big ones that Rashi describes. Sometimes you have, it's not even a matter of that they were planted too thickly. Sometimes you have that there are certain ones that it's a subspecies of onion. It's a variety of onion, which is never going to grow that large. And therefore, to begin with, you pull them out in order to give the other ones room to spread. So now you're not necessarily throwing them out. The owner can use them. He can use them as scallions or pearl onions or whatever. So that being the case, then you would think. So now the Okelia Cholositin, the fact is you are putting them into the Kali of the Balabas. Before we assumed that it meant you're picking out the small ones and you're throwing them away. Now we're saying no, you're picking out the small ones, and these are ones that have grown to their full growth. They're not going to grow any further. So you're not picking them to throw them away, you're picking them to give to the Balabas. So the Okelia Cholositin would apply. You are putting into the Balabas's Kalim, and therefore you would think you should be allowed to eat. Nevertheless, we're saying that not, because the fact is the ones that are still growing are still, it's not Gemar Malacha for them, so therefore you don't have the right to eat on the job. Tosfos also points out the fact is we do still need both drashas. If you didn't have the Okelia Cholositin, we wouldn't have said that we learned this drasha from Daish. We would have said something else. We're talking about when learn nigmar malach to lemaiser. We wouldn't learn about gemar malacha as far as attached to the ground. Now that we have the Okelia Cholositin, then also that tells us to use the word daish to include also to tell us about gemar malacha, about things that are still attached to the ground. So he wouldn't be allowed to eat from the larger onions because the fact is he's not doing anything with them. He's only picking out the other ones from between them and for their benefit so that they'll grow larger. And for them, it's not Gemar Malacha yet because they still continue to grow. Okay. Tanya Idach, then we learn in yet another Braisa. Again, when it says Daish, Ma Daish that Daish is something when you thresh the grain, it's not yet ready as far as Meiser. It only is going to become ready as far as that you chayav to take Meiser from it at a later stage, like we talked about previously, when you finish the job of threshing and winnowing and all that, and you have clean grain that now you make a pile and you smooth out the pile. And we're saying that the worker can eat from it, and as we learned yesterday, he can eat from it even without taking Meiser, because to that extent we consider him like the Balabais. Therefore, we learn from that anything which is not completed as far as its processing is not completed as far as Meiser, then the worker is allowed to eat from it. As opposed to, therefore, if you have somebody has a whole bunch of figs or a whole bunch of dates which have gotten stuck together, and he hires somebody to separate them, those figs or those dates are already chayev and meiser. Because the processing of them was completed before, but now it's just they got stuck together and you need to unstick them. So therefore, in poil oichobai, therefore the worker would not be able to eat from them unless, of course, again you work out some kind of arrangement with them. Earlier we learned actually that we learned actually in Tosfos mentions over here that their shitta is, Rashi and Tosfos' shitta is, that only grain, grapes, and olives are chayav in Truma and Maisim and Atoira. So figs and dates would anyway be only chayav derabbanan. However, Tosfos says they are considered Gmar Malacha LaMaiser. Had there been Maiser in them Daradaisa, then we would consider that they've already gone through Gmar Malacha. So therefore, we can still say, fine, on the Daradaisa level, you don't have to take Maiser from them, but nevertheless, on a Daradaisa level, we can say that the rule about the worker not eating from them applies, because at this point, there is already Gmar Malacha has already taken place. Again, as we learned before, the Rambam holds that all tree fruits are chayev in Maiser Daradaisa, so according to Truma and Maiser Daradaisa, so according to him, the Gemara does literally mean that they're chayev in Maiser, and that's Gmar Malacha as far as Maiser. So the Gemara asks, "V'hatanya haboidu b'tmorim v'grogris poil ochavoy." Isn't there another brisa though that says that when a person is separating, and when you hire somebody to separate figs or dates that got stuck together, the worker is allowed to eat from that? Amar Papa, "Tanya hi p'tech chalni." The answer is, Rapapa says that second brisa is talking about where the dates themselves are what are called techalni, which Rashi describes. These are a low quality kind of dates. They never ripen on the tree. So what you do is instead you make little baskets made out of palm leaves, somewhat similar to the way in the veldt they have those basket like things that they weave out of lulav leaves to use for holding the hadassim and arovas. So similarly over here, you make kalim like that, and you put the dates in them, and then they ripen in there. So now we're saying before they become ripe, the worker would be allowed to eat because l'nigmar malacha l'maaser. Rashi mentions that the containers that they put them in are called chosolos, so it could be the word techalni of the Gemara over here means something that goes, maybe the word techalni, maybe the shodosh of it is related to the word chosol, so it means things that are put into a container like that. So therefore, so now you have, so when it's those kinds of dates, then yes, before they're fully ripe, when the worker is busy putting them into the containers or taking them out or maybe taking them out from there before they're fully ripe, then he would be allowed to eat from them because now it's not yet Gmar Malacha as far as Truma and Maisa because they're not ripe yet. But in the ordinary case, ones that ripen on the tree and you harvest them, so you'd be allowed to eat from them during the harvesting, but then afterwards when they're ready as far as Challah and Maisa because there's really no more processing you need to do with them. And then, if later on they got stuck together and he's hired to break them apart, then we wouldn't say that he's allowed to eat from them because at that point, Gmar Malacha has already taken place. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach, then we learn yet another braisa, Dayish. Again, what can we learn from the word Dayish, from the fact that an ox, and again we're saying because of the Hekesh, that a person is allowed to eat from the threshed grain. Ma Dayish miyucha dovish l'enigma malachta l'chala. That Dayish is not yet Gmar Malacha as far as Challah. Dayish is normally grain. So afterwards, you have many more steps that you're going to get to before you reach a point when it's Chayiv and Challah, because dough becomes Chayiv and Challah only when you mix the flour and water together. And the worker then will say, therefore, is allowed to eat from it. The same way, anything else, which is not yet ready, which is not yet completed to the stage of being Chayiv and Challah, then the worker is allowed to eat from it. Yeah, now, Gemara is going to ask in a second, wait a minute, by now it's already chayiv and maaser, how is he still allowed to eat from it if it's not yet, just because it's not yet chayiv and challah? We'll get back to that point in a second. But first, the braisa says, yotza halosh, so therefore that comes to exclude somebody who's kneading the dough, v'ham a captive, or where he's basting the dough. So Rashi describes it means specifically after you kneaded the dough, you're shaping it, you're smoothing it out. Sometimes also makatef means like you take a little bit of water or juice or something like that, and you use it to baste the surface of it to smooth it out. Or baking, shenigma malachta l'chala, in all those cases, it's already complete as far as challah. So the worker who's doing one of these things would not be allowed to take some of the dough or some of the bread and eat it without permission. Tosfos wonders why we need to mention all three of those. I mean, if we're mentioning that even when he's kneading, that's already chayiv and chala, why even bother mentioning the other ones? So it's one thing as far as the baking, Tosfos points out, you have a case, you can have a very thin batter where you don't need to, knead it. You can have a very thin batter, like the kind you use to make pancakes and things like that. Where based on a Gemara and Pesachim, it depends how you're going to be preparing them, whether you're going to be baking them or frying them, whether they're chayiv and challah. So it's possible to be baking without kneading first, and therefore you could say the Braisa mentions the baking. But why bother mentioning the katif, where by definition that comes only after the kneading, once he can't eat already, once he kneaded the dough, why even bother mentioning the point that about Makata? So in fact, different Rishonim talk about the Ritva answer is that, listen, you know, once it mentions Losh and Ofer, then it mentions Makatif as well, which comes between them, even though it's true, it's not really necessary. In fact, you have the Tosfos Rosh brings, you have the Gemara in Shabbos uses the expression Tana Sidura the past Nokit. That when it comes to the malachas of Shabbos, the Tana is using the order of baking bread, and he lists the malachas in keeping with that. So the same way over here, the Tana is using Sedurta the pass, and therefore is mentioning the captive, even though it's not strictly necessary. So in all those cases, the worker would not be allowed to eat because it's already nigma malachta lachala. Well, the Gemara asks about the nigma malachta lemaiser. Anyway, why would he be able to eat? Why would he think that he'd be able to eat at that point when he's kneading the dough? And we're saying only because it says daish than not. The fact that it's already nigma malachta lemaiser, because again, this grain at a much earlier stage, before you even ground it, was already chayiv and maiser. Once the farmer made a pile of it and smoothed out the sides of the pile. So why anyway would we need to be telling us that he can't eat before it's ready for challah? And the implication would be that after all, that while it's not yet before that point, he would be allowed to eat from it. For example, that he'd be allowed to eat from the flour. Why? It's already nigma malachta lemaisa. So the answer is like Tasha b'chutz la'aretz askin, and you could say that this last brisa about nigma malachta lechala is talking about chutz la'aretz. The lack of meiser, we're there. There's no chiyuv of meiser. So you can't say that when it's completed as far as meiser, then the worker shouldn't be able to eat from it. No, it would mean that at that point you can still eat from it because it's not yet chayiv lechala. Well, the Gemara says yihachi chala nami. Like the fact is, the mitzvah of chala on a daraisa level doesn't apply outside Eretz Yisrael either. So how does that help us? We're talking about a daraisa din over here. So therefore, we need to find something where it's going to be chayav. Where it's going to be chayav daraisa. If it's chayav in meiser daraisa, then if it's chayav in chala daraisa, it's also chayav in meiser. And if it's not, then it's not. So where do you have a case where it would be chayav in chala but potter from meiser, such that you could talk about that because it hasn't yet reached the stage of being chayav in chala, therefore the worker would be allowed to eat from it, but once it reaches that stage, then he's osur. So the Gemara answer is ela olam ba'aretz. No, so actually we can answer, we are talking about grain of Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about this braisa, and the pasuk that it's referring to would be talking about back in the time when they were first conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, where it took them 7 years to divide up to conquer most of Eretz Yisrael, and another 7 years to divide up all the territory, including also they divided up the areas that had not been conquered yet, in order that this way, when each shevet after Yeshua passes away is going to continue conquering it, it will still be considered kibush rabim, and it'll still be considered that the Jewish people collectively did that, and therefore it'll still be chayiv and mitzvah. So during that time, we learn in a brisa, sheva shekibshu, sheva shechilku, nischayvu b'chalav, and nischayvu b'maisa. During those seven years, they were chayiv and chala, but they weren't chayiv and maisa. The reason is because usually, with most mitzvahs at Tloyes Baretz, the pasuk uses an expression like kisavoy ala oretz, or kisavoyu ala oretz, or something like that. So since you have by Bikurim, the pasuk spells out the Yerishta, and you will inherit it. The Yashavta Ba, and you will live in the land. So therefore, we learn by a Binyan Av that every other place that it says Kisavay or Kisavayu means only after they conquer and settle and are settled in their respective plots of land. However, by Chala, instead, the Torah uses the expression Bivoyachem al Aretz. When you come to the land, which is a different expression, and therefore we learn that that's unique, and therefore the din of Chala applied as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. Well, therefore you could have that during those 14 years, you could have a case that if a worker is working with grain during that time, even after Gemar Malach al Meiser, he'd still be able to eat from it because the fact is there's no Meiser, the Chiyuv of Meiser hasn't kicked in yet, whereas when it comes to once he's kneaded the dough, then he'd be also too, because now it's Nigmar Malach al Chala, and at this point in history, they're already Chayiv and Chala. The Ritva points out, so what are you going to say? You're going to ask, so what is the Braisa telling us something that's only of historical interest? The fact is, there's never again going to be a time like that. So he says, no, because after all, the Braisa is darshaning the Pasuk, so the Pasuk would need to be telling us what happens during those 14 years. The fact is, the Pasuk was given to the Jewish people before they entered Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they're going to need to know what to do during during that time. But the Gemara asks, that's still not a good answer. Midi Meiser Kagorim? After all, is it the actual Chiyuv of Meiser that causes it when the worker can and can't eat? Gemar Malacha Kagorim? Really, it's not whether the thing is Chayiv and Meiser or not. Fundamentally, it's whether it's reached a stage when it would be Chayiv and Meiser. The same way, it's similar to what Tosfos had said before about the dates and the figs, that they're on the Raisa level, according to their Shitta, they're not Chayiv and Meiser, but nevertheless, once they reach the stage where they would be chayiv and meiser, then we say the worker can't eat from them. So the same thing over here. Once the grain has reached the stage where it would be chayiv and meiser, then already the worker can't eat from it. What's the difference whether the actual chiyuv of meiser exists at that point in Jewish history yet? So that doesn't work. So no. Ela omer Ravina, k'troich v'toni. So rather, Ravina says you have to combine together. You have to combine together the last two braises. When it says dayish, ma dayish miyuchad, dovet shalanigma malachdei, lemaiser ulechala. When you have something which is incomplete as far as meiser and chala, meaning in other words, when it's something where the last thing that has to happen with it is to be chayiv and meiser, then once it reaches that stage, then the worker is not allowed to eat from it. On the other hand, then you have grain where in addition on further on, there's going to be the chiyuv of challah. So now, then the worker would be able to eat. Poil oichel boy, the worker would be able to eat from it. So in short, in other words, if let's say the worker is, if the worker was harvesting grapes or olives, so then he'd be allowed to eat from them while he's picking them. He'd also be allowed to eat from them later on before they're pressed into wine or oil. Only at that point do they become chayiv in Tirma and Meiser. After that, not. On the other hand, with grain, even after you do miruach and it becomes chayiv and tshuva and meiser, he'd still be able to eat from it until after miruach, after it's ground and sifted and whatever, until you start mixing the dough and putting the flour together with the water, then he would be also to eat from it because at that point it becomes chayiv and chala. So af kolshem enigma malachdei lemaisa ulachala poil oichaboy. So the worker would be allowed to eat until it's chayav in maisa ulachala, whichever is late. So with things that are chayav and chala, you can eat from it till they're chayav and chala. Things that are not chayav and chala, then he's also to eat from them once they reach the stage of maisa. So that's according to Rashi and Tosfos, and on the other hand, the Ritva gives an explanation. He says that no, really what it is you have those two different times. Once it reaches the stage of being chayiv and meiser, he actually wouldn't be able to eat from it, including as far as grain. But once the grain has had miruach done with it, at that point the worker would not be allowed to eat from it. Now later on, when it's ground into flour, now he has a new thing where he's allowed to eat from it until it becomes chayiv and chal. So therefore, according to him, in other words, you have two, when it comes to grain, you'd have two different stages. There'd be a point when you're allowed to eat from it, then a point when you have to stop. after it's been, after Meruach has been done. And then you'll have a later point when it starts up again, the ability to eat it, namely after it's ground into flour. Until you start making it into dough. Okay. So those are all the various braises that teach us things about, that teach us various things that we learn from the word daish. So now the Gemara brings up a new point. Would the worker be allowed to take the grain that he's allowed to eat on the job and singe it in a fire? Where therefore that helps make it sweeter. And the same thing with olives, he might do that. He might heat them up a little bit in order to make them sweeter. When we say that he has the right to eat the grain or the grapes or whatever it is or whatever kind of produce or the ground that he's working on, does that mean that he has to eat it in its raw state, or does it mean that he's allowed to do a certain amount of improving it? So Rashi explains, in other words, that we're talking about it is already edible. It is already edible before that. But now he wants to make it. Now he wants to make it taste better. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from a Ben Tam that no, if it's completely edible, then of course he's allowed to. Then it's just improving the flavor. The question, rather, Tosfos brings, according to a Ben Tam, would be when it's not edible as it is. The grain, for example, is not completely ripe yet, or the grapes are not completely ripe yet, and heating them up is going to make them edible. Would he be allowed to do that? Or maybe at that point it's really too early maybe we would say at that point it's too early for him to be eating it yet. If he wants to eat it raw and not fully developed, then fine, but he wouldn't be allowed necessarily to go and improve it because now it's like he's making it into something else. That's how Tosfos learns the questions. Throughout the sugya over here, Rashi, we're going to be dealing with that Rashi is saying, we're talking about the fruit is already edible and he just wants to improve the flavor. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about that it's not yet edible. Anyway, so that's the question. Would he be allowed? Would he be allowed to singe the fruit in fire to make it sweet or to make it edible? And to eat it. Now, we learned before when we learned the Braisan, Pezayin or Adayin, that went through the dinim that we learned from the pasuk to suffer the cherem reicha. We mention over there that since it says anovim that you're allowed to eat grapes, that means v'loy anovim v'dover acher, you're not allowed to combine the grapes with something else. You, the worker, have the right to eat the grapes on the job, but without the permission of the balabas, you would not be allowed to mix the grapes with something else in order to make it more flavorful and eat it. And now, is singeing them considered like anovim v'dover acher? Oh, law, you're maybe not, because the fact is you're not adding anything else. So again, according to Rashi, we're talking about they're already edible. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about that you're allowed to make them edible by singeing them. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, Rashoi Balabais Lahashkis Poilim Yayin, the owner, the boss, is allowed to give the workers wine to drink. So they don't eat a lot of grapes. In other words, a smart balabas is going to think to himself, you know what, I want as many of my grapes pressed into wine as possible. If the workers can eat on the job, as the Torah tells us, I'm going to end up losing a lot of grapes to them because they're going to fill themselves up on it. So I have an idea. I'll give them an advance. I'll give them some wine or some grape juice, and they'll fill up on that, and that way they won't have as much of a taiva for grapes. He's allowed to do that. But conversely, the workers, when they bring their bread to eat, whether they have their own bread, whether, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, the balabas supplies them with bread, whatever, they would be allowed to dip it in tzir, in fish juice or something like that, which makes it more flavorful, kadesh yechlo anovim habit, in order to whet their appetite, so they will want to eat more grapes. So in other words, the pasuk says they can't overeat on them, as we learned previously, they can't eat achila gasa, but they can stimulate their appetite so that they'll want to eat more grapes by dipping their bread into vinegar or fish juice or whatever to make it more flavorful. So don't we see from that you're allowed to do something to make yourself want to eat more? So wouldn't that be the same thing as far as singeing the grapes to make them more flavorful or to make them edible? There's no question you're allowed to do things that are going to make the person want to eat more. The fact is, the Torah never asks those on you. The Torah says, they'll tell you how sitting. You can't put them into your kalim and then so forth. So here, it's not, and here the Pasuk is saying, anovim, you can only eat grapes, meaning, but not anovim or davar acher. Here, there's no davar acher involved. You yourself, you're making yourself stimulate your appetite, that for sure is allowed. Ki kam baila, mach shur de peira mai. The question would be, as far as making the fruit more prepared to be eaten, making it sweeter, according to Rashi, or making it edible in the first place, according to Tosfos, is that something that you would be allowed? You definitely can't put davar acher with that. We had that in the Braisa before, but the question would be whether you're allowed to singe them. Is that considered davar acher or not? So no proof from that Braisa one way or the other. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's prove from another Braisa. The Braisa says, Poilin Ochon Anovim, Beroshi Umenuyas Shalahem. The workers are allowed to eat the grapes specifically by the ends of the rows. Meaning, because Rashi describes the grapes that grow at the ends of the row, those are more exposed to the sunlight. The sunlight is what creates the sugars in the fruit. You have fruits, or unripe fruit, has starches in it, which then the sunlight, the heat and the light of the sun turns those starches into sugar. So therefore, the grapes that grow on the ends of the rows are going to tend to be the sweeter ones. So now, when the workers are allowed to eat grapes, they don't have to eat randomly from throughout the row. They're allowed to wait until the end of the row and take the grapes from there, where they're sweeter. Over Vachala, you have Vubaur, but the Braisa says they can't singe them in the fire. So there we go, then. They can't singe them. That's that. But the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. The Braisa may mean that they're not allowed to singe them because they'd be wasting time from work. Because it takes time to make a fire over there and singe them. Rather, the question we have is, when we ask about whether we can singe them, is, what if his wife or children are along there with him? So let's say, for example, the worker himself was hired, his wife or kids come along to watch Tati at work or whatever, and now, so now he picks a few grapes. Now, by the way, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, they're not allowed to eat from them, because the whole heter that the worker has to eat is only for himself, not for his family, unless, again, of course, he prearranged with the balabas, then that's fine, then that's different. But in this case, let's say, so he's going to say, here, I picked a cluster of grapes over here, which I'm going to eat. So here, you take it while I continue working, harvesting the grapes, and singe them for me, and then give them to me. My, what would be the din? Would that be allowed? So now there's no bitul malacha involved, but is there the anovim v'davar acher issue involved? So the Braisa says, Toshma, let's prove for another Braisa. A Braisa says, lo yahavim v'ur v'yotol, he's not allowed to singe the grapes or whatever it is in fire to eat them. V'lo yichmer ba'adama, he also can't bury them in the ground. Yichmer comes from a word that means to heat them up. We had in an earlier perek, in the fifth perek, in Ezer Neshech, we had the word alakoymer shal anovim, or alakoymer shal zeisim, actually. We said, when you're going to press olives, you put them, you make them in a big pile so that they'll get heated up and soften, and that way more juice, more oil will flow out of them, and that kind of thing. It's called koimer. So the basic meaning of koimer is to heat up. So the same way over here, we're saying lo yichmer ba'adama, you can't heat them up by burying them in the ground, where again, the idea is that now they'll be sweeter and more juice will come out of them, and eat them. Another example would be that he can't break them or press them or bruise them on a rock. Rashi describes that they do that sometimes with apples. Sometimes you have an apple, for example, that's too hard to eat, so you bang it against the surface in order to soften it. So here you might have the same kind of thing. You have grapes or other fruit or whatever that are very hard, so you bang them on a rock in order to sweeten them. In fact, Mishnayos described doing that with olives in particular. Olives off the tree are extremely bitter, so you do that. You bruise them or crush them against a rock in order to get out some of the bitterness, and then they're more edible. Anyway, so the Braisa is clearly saying you can't do that. Avam mafrich al yad, but you are allowed to crush them between your hands. You take them not between your hands so much, but Rashi describes mi yad v'yad, from hand to hand. So like you transfer them back and forth between your hands, and then they become a little softer that way. So that you're allowed, and you can eat them. So therefore, so again, the Braisa is clearly saying that you can't heat them up. So the answer is no. Again, mishum bitul malacha. Again, you could say that this braisa is saying that when there's a problem of bitul malacha, then you can't. So that would be so. Why are you allowed to do it with the hands? Because there's not necessarily bitul malacha involved. Because you could give it to your wife or children or whatever anyway. But or even you're doing it within your own hands. Fine, your hands can otherwise be occupied with doing the work right now. But when you're the Rosh points out that on the other hand, when you're talking about banging it on a rock, for example, you have to go find a rock. And then that's bitul malacha. That's wasting time from work. You have, by the way, we see from this Gemara, we see from other Gemaras, how careful an employee has to be to use his time on behalf of his boss and not fritter away and waste the time. The Rambam points out at the end of the halacha, at the end of Hilchos Sefiros, you see, for example, that in the Masechta Brachos, for example, where the Gemara talks about that technically workers don't even have to bench the full benching because their time is so important to their balabas that they shouldn't take even a moment extra off it. Nowadays, we don't have that din because in practice, bosses are not that machbid. But in principle, the worker is not allowed to waste even a moment. So again, he says, the Gemara says, "Hasam b'shem bitul malacha." You're dealing with an issue of bitul malacha, not that in and of itself it's an issue to make them sweet or to make them edible. To be exact, actually, the Menatam says it's rather that they're yecholim enuroy el ayed chak. They're not completely inedible without this preparation, but they would be only barely. So again, the idea is, in other words, that here we're talking about they are in fact. So in fact, according to Rabbi Natan, this answer of the Gemara would mean that here we're talking about they are in fact ready to eat. So therefore, so for sure you're allowed to do that according to Rabbi Natan's shita. And the only issue is bitul malach. And the Gemara says hachinami mistabra. In fact, that's more logical that it must be the issue is only bitul malacha. Disakdaitach mishum matuki pera. If the issue is overall to sweeten the fruit. So what do you mean? Sela my matuki peira ika. Then what do you mean? When you bang it on a rock, how are you making the fruit any sweeter? On the face of it, in other words, Tosfos explains, when you bang them on the rock, it's not necessarily in order to make them sweeter. It's maybe only in order to break them into smaller pieces so you can eat them more easily or something. So therefore, obviously that shows the issue must be bitul malacha. And the Gemara says, no, you have to be mamtik purta. Fine, mainly you're banging them on the rock in order to break them into smaller pieces or whatever, but inevitably it's also going to sweeten them a little bit because it causes some of the sugars in it to become more concentrated together. So it's not necessarily a solid proof that the braisa is talking about the issue of bitul malacha, but nevertheless we could say that, and therefore we don't have a solid proof from this braisa one way or the other of whether you're allowed to singe the pears. So the Gemara continues, Toshma, Hoyim show you Urjim Bata'inim, if you have workers who were hoeing or digging around fig trees. So they're doing that in order to so usually the word Urjim means that. It means they're digging around the roots of the trees to give them more air. But that wouldn't be Gemar Malacha, and we established before that the worker can't eat when it's not the time of Gemar Malacha. So Odrin over here, rather it means that he's picking the figs. In fact, there's a different Gersa, not Odrin, but Odrin, which is the normal Gemara word for picking dates. Unlike in English, where we'd say picking or harvesting for almost everything, in Lashon Kodesh you have different words for different kinds of fruits. Anyway, so they're picking the figs, the goydrim batmarim, or they're cutting off and picking the dates, where again also you have a different word, hagoyis habach says instead of goydrim, it's supposed to be the goydin, whatever. Or boats in Banogam, or harvesting grapes, or moskin bezesim, or harvesting olives, each one having its own name in Lashon Kodesh. Harela uchlam uptorim, so then they're allowed to eat, and they're potter from taking meiser. Shatora zikzalam, because the Torah says that there's zoichen, and as we learned yesterday, kinafshacha, they're similar in that regard to the balabas, just like a balabas would be allowed to eat a snack from them, then so is the worker. However, the braisa continues, b'pitam lo yochlu. However, they would not be allowed to eat the fruit together with bread, unless elen ken nafu roshus m'balabais, unless the balabais gave them permission. And the Braisa continues, v'lo yisbos b'melach v'yochol. They're also not allowed to dip the fruit in salt and eat it. So we see. So now the Gemara is assuming at this point that the point of the salt would be because any time you do the Gemara is assuming at this point that the problem of dipping them in salt is not that that's going to become chayiv and maaser. We're going to discuss in a few lines that there's a different issue with that. Once you dip fruit in salt, then it's keveyek for maaser. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that it's a matter of making the fruit more edible, sweeter according to Rashi, actually edible, fully edible according to Tosfos. So the Gemara is assuming that salt and heating it up would be the same thing. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. Melach badek anov medover achad. I mean, there's no question that dipping them in salt is considered anov medover achad. Yes, you may be sprinkling the salt on the grapes. You're dipping the grapes in salt. It's not something that you're eating separately. Nevertheless, the fact is it is dover achar, as opposed to singeing them in a fire where you really don't have dover achar. There's not actually anything else that you're eating them with. So there's no proof of that. So the Gemara has left the question open. According to most Rishonim, then, the Gemara, in fact, has left the question open, and therefore the worker would not be allowed to singe the grapes or whatever other kind of fruit, because you have a question whether that's considered Dover Acher or not. So in fact, ultimately, we're saying that the Gemara would be saying that salt would be considered Dover Acher. On the other hand, the Balamur learns that not. The Balamur learns that, in fact, that in fact, the maskana, we're going to say that you are allowed to, that you can't dip them in salt, but you would be allowed to singe them. So the Gemara continues. So we said again, you can't dip them in salt and eat them. So the Gemara says, "Uruminu hasilcher sapoy la'adir la'kashkesh tachas azesim." You hire a worker to hoe or to be makashkish under olive trees. Makashkish Rashi describes as that you have sometimes the roots are exposed and you have to take some dirt and use it to cover the roots so the roots don't dry out. So that kind of thing. Hareza lo yoichol, so you can't eat from the olives because not gemar malacha. But sochr limsoik. But if he hires him to harvest the grapes or to harvest the olives, sochr the locket or to pick any other kind of fruit, or even the locket, meaning not to pick fruit, but rather to pick up the fruit that fell from the tree, and you're going to pick and you're going to collect it from the ground. So hareza oichol, in all those cases, he's allowed to eat because it's all gemar malacha or potter, and again, he's potter from maaser. Shatoda zichzalan, because again the Torah is mezaka to him to be able to eat at that point. But the Braisa continues, kotzatz, if he arranged with the balabas in advance that he's going to be able to eat, which would mean, in other words, so he arranged instead of just relying on that I'm being allowed to eat in our Torah, but he makes a deal that I'm going to work for you on condition that I should be able to eat even at times when I otherwise wouldn't be allowed to. So now this becomes more like mekach, and as we learned yesterday, mekach buying produce at least on a daraisa level. We talk about a drosha daraisa that maybe says actually it would be potter, but midrabban and it's chayiv in any case. Once you bought it, then it's chayiv and meiser. So achas va'achas yoichol. So if he's eating them one by one, then if he's picking them and eating them one by one, then it's not considered, as the Gemara is going to say further on, in order for them to be chayiv and maaser, you need goyren, you need they were gathered together, and when you only have one, you don't have a goyren. So actually Tosfos points out, by the way, first Tosfos points out that this case of kotzatz necessarily on the face of it would have to be talking about where the worker is being hired to do things where normally he wouldn't be able to eat. For example, let's say lavder or lakashkish, and then he's making up with the balabais, so now we're saying that. So after all, if he's being hired to harvest, why would he make a tanai when anyway minatoda he would eat? And why would him doing kotzatz, why would that prevent him from eating two at a time? So, on the other hand, Tosfos says then, look, if Kotzatz, then of course, then what's the question? Then what's the question about the salt? We're saying that, after all, Mitzvah Ikar Adin, he wouldn't have been allowed to eat. Only because of Kotzatz he would. Why would we think that, why he didn't make a deal that he's allowed to eat it with salt? Why we're going to be discussing the salt matter over here. So rather, Tosfos says Kotzatz means that he said that he's only going to eat a certain amount. That he said, yes, I'm allowed to eat Minat Torah, but I'm making a deal with you, Balabas, that even though I'm allowed to eat as much as I want, I'm only going to limit myself to 10 or 20. Anyway, so now we're saying because of that kotzatz, because now it becomes more like a business deal, achas for achas yoichol, so he's allowed to eat them one by one, and they're not yet chayiv in meiser. Shtayim lo yoichol, but to gather them two or more together, then he wouldn't be allowed to, because now already it's considered a gurdon, now already it's considered they were gathered together, as we're going to bring soon, and therefore now it becomes chayiv in meiser. So, as we talked about yesterday, there are a number of things that could be done to produce that make it chayiv and meiser. And among them are one of them is nekach, one of them is when you buy it. And again, you still have to have gmar malacha. So over here, once you have gurdon, once you're gathering them together, then it's considered gmar malacha. So therefore, you can only eat them one at a time, but not two at a time. And the b'raisa finishes off the surface by melach b'yoichol, and you're allowed to dip them in salt and eat them. Well, the Gemara asks Taheya, that last part about salt, which part of the Braisa is it referring to? Ilema Asefa, is it talking about the Sefa where Kotzatz, where he made a deal with the owner that he's going to eat, even at a time when otherwise he wouldn't have been allowed to, according to Rashi, or where he made a deal that he's going to limit himself to a certain maximum, according to Tosfos? Given to Kotzatz, once he made a deal with the owner, Kol Hecha Debori Leichel, he should be able to eat however he wants. Why are we limiting him about eating with salt? So el alav aresha. Doesn't that mean, therefore, that the braisa, that the part about dipping in salt, is talking about the resha? Meaning, in other words, the safer of the resha, the second din in the resha, that we said that where he's being hired to pick the grapes or the olives or whatever it is, where then he's allowed to eat minat Torah. So now we're saying he'd be allowed to dip it in salt. So then we have a contradiction. And the previous, an earlier braisa said he can't dip it in salt, and this one says he can. Amar Abaya, loy kasha. So Abaya says there's no contradiction. In fact, we are talking about where it was kotzatz, where he made a deal with the owner that he's going to be allowed to eat when he couldn't, or that he's going to limit himself to a maximum amount. Loy kasha, kan ba'aretz, kan b'chutz la'aretz. The difference is whether we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael versus in chutz la'aretz. Ba'aretz, because in Eretz Yisrael, where you have a din of Meiser, so the concept of Meiser exists daraisa, and the Chachamim on top of that put the idea that if you salt it, then that's one of the things that's Keveya that makes it that now it's Nikba, and you have to take Meiser from it. So therefore, so Kovas Svisa, so dipping it in salt is going to cause it to be Chayiv in Meiser, and therefore he's not going to be able to eat it, without taking Meiser. On the other hand, the chutz la'aretz, they call the svisa. In chutz la'aretz, there's no meiser, so dipping it in salt has no effect. And therefore, so that would be then, so in chutz la'aretz, he'd be allowed to dip it in salt. Omar Rava, but Rava says, mi'ika midi deba'aretz kovas svisa midaraisa, over chutz la'aretz, like kovas svisa, or muta l'chatzfila. So what are you telling me? The fact is, when the chachamim make a takana, they usually make it parallel to the din of the Torah. So at least in chutz la'aretz, there should be, if you're going to tell me, Abaye is understanding that when we say that dipping in salt makes it kavur l'maiser, Abaye is understanding it means it's actually keveya and daraisa. So now Rava is asking that in that case, the Chachamim should have made a takana in chutz la'aretz that dipping it in salt should make it chayiv and maiser d'rabbana. So Rava explains, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz, Vada Le'kavas Svisa. No, whether you're talking in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, to dip one fruit in salt does not make it kavua as far as Meiser. Tauti, Kavas Svisa, but if you do two of them or more, then the dipping it in salt makes it chayiv and Meiser. The difference, now, within that, so if he made a deal with the Balabas, then it's considered like he bought it. Ben Sofas, so Ben Loy Sofas, whether he's going to dip it in salt or not, Achas, Achas, Ochel, Shtaim, Shtaim, Loy Yochel, then he can only eat them one at a time, but not two at a time. In other words, Rava is saying that either buying or dipping in salt is going to make it chayiv and meiser, but you still need, for each one, you need Gmar Malacha. And Gmar Malacha means that you're going to gather two of them or more together. Loy Kotzatz, if you didn't arrange with the Balabayas in advance, so therefore you don't have the issue of buying. The Loy Sofas, and you didn't dip them in salt, so you don't have that for this year. Oichel, Shtaim, Shtaim, then you would be allowed to eat them two at a time. Sofas, but if you dip them in salt, Achas, Achas, Oichel, then you can only eat them one at a time. Shtaim, Shtaim, Loy Oichel. But Afa Gavda Notar Rashusmi Balabayas, even though he has permission from the owner. In other words, before we were asking the question about Anovim Bedover Acher, you can't eat the grapes or anything else with something else, and he said, therefore, you can't dip them in salt. Here we're talking about he's allowed to dip them in salt because Kotsatz, because he arranged with the Balabais. And we got permission, at least from the Balabais, to do that. But it Vilhula Meiser, but once he dips them in salt, then, and puts them two together, then that's gonna make them tevel, as far as that now the Chayiv and Meiser, the Kavua Sfisa, and dipping them in salt is in fact going to make it that now they're Kavua. You have six things that are Kaveya produce as far as Meiser, and one of them is, and two of them are dipping in salt and buying, and that's what Rava is explaining, the Braisa, on that basis is, if you have either one or the other of them, then once you have Gmar Malacha, defined as gathering two or more of them together, then already it's Chayiv and Meiser, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat without taking Meiser. But if you have neither one of those things, you don't have Mekach and you don't have salt, then you'd be allowed to collect them together. So now, at this point, the Gemara could have used this to answer then the question that we're saying, Rava seems to be saying that it's only because of the issue of Meiser that you are not allowed to do that. But in other words, from the point of view of the dinim of the poil, as we're dealing with in this perek, then it sounds like you would be allowed to dip it in salt, or you would be allowed to singe it. So now the Gemara could have used this to answer the question before about singeing. So Tosfa says again that this Braisa could be talking about where the owner gave him permission, so that doesn't show what he's allowed to do without permission. And again, most of Rishonim say, as we said before, that the Gemara has not answered the Suffolk, and therefore the Suffolk is not allowed to singe the fruit unless the owner gives him permission. On the other hand, the Baal Amar learns that in fact, yes, and the Raivad agrees that in fact now the Gemara can answer the question that yes, once we say he's allowed to dip it in salt, and the only issue is, as far as being Keveya, as far as Meiser, then therefore he'd also be allowed to singe it in fire in order to make it sweeter. Well, the Gemara finishes off with Tauti to cover Sfisa Manolon. Where do we see that gathering two of them together is going to be Kavua once you dip them in salt or once you buy them? Omer of Masna, to Omer Kra, you have the Pasuk, Ki Kibtsam to Omer Gona. The Pasuk says he's gathered them together like the sheaves, like the bundles of grain in the Golan. Now, the word kibitz implies, so in other words, the word golden implies that there's a gathering. The minimum amount that can be considered gathering is two. So therefore, we learn from that. Now, it's not a true limud, because it's a pasuk in Nevi'im, and we don't learn halachas in Torah from Sukkim in Nevi'im, but nevertheless, it's at least a hint of the idea that a golden, in order for them to be chayiv and meiser, which then they're only chayiv, when they reach the golden, is only considered when you gather two or more of them together. So only when you gather two or more fruits together, only then do you have a golden, and therefore now they'd be chayiv and meiser, provided that you have one of the other criteria over there, the salting or the buying or several other things that are mentioned in various other places in Shas. The context of that pasuk, by the way, is the Novi is saying, now you have the Goyim all gathering together to attack the Jewish people. They think now we finally have them once and for all. They don't realize Hashem is gathering them together in order to complete history once and for all and do like when you thresh the grain, you get out the useful grain from it and throw away the straw. That's the purpose of gathering together, is for that kind of thing, in order for Hashem to finish off history and then do the final birurim in the world and remove the hostile goyim who don't belong in the world and leave the ones who are going to be on our side and the ones who are going to be there the Moshe Mashiach and help us out, which should be Miyad Mamash.